Welcome to Digest This, the show that helps you revolutionize your digestive health. Here are your hosts, Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato.
Hello, and welcome to Digest This. I'm Dr. Liz Cruz, and I've got Tina Nunziato sitting right here by my side. Thank you so much for joining us for a podcast. If you're a regular listener, thank you for being on this journey with us. And if you are a first-time listener, thank you for joining us today. And we hope that you'll go back and listen to our many other podcasts. We've got almost 250 podcasts sitting out there in our little podcast library. So please check them out. So today we thought we're going to do a little hodgepodge of some stuff because I got something in the mail last week and I was all excited about it. So I've been getting these...
This has been a big hot topic for us lately.
It has.
Since I did that reading up on M&Ms at the end of last year.
Yeah. You know what?
Those are your downfall.
M&Ms have... peanut M&Ms have really been my downfall and have just been a weakness for me. But recently, I've made some...
Changes.
Yeah, no, just some aha moments and some discoveries that just really scared me. I mean, you know, we're really big on ingredients, okay? And if you've gone through our DNA digestive wellness program, and if you haven't, you've got to check it out, go to our website. But one of the big things that we really try to emphasize is the importance of looking at the ingredients. And I'm not talking about the nutritional panel that tells you what percentage of fat and protein and carbohydrates. I'm talking about the ingredients. And, you know, that'll tell you a lot about the product. And so anyways...
Well, it tells you what you're actually consuming.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. It tells you what you're putting in your body.
Yeah.
So I've been getting these letters from the Center for Science in the Public Interest. It's a non-profit organization, and they put out a nutritional action newsletter. And in the last couple weeks, I got something that I thought was pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. And it was a report in regards to food dyes. And apparently, the... Center for Science in the Public Interest, I'll abbreviate it, the CSPI, has really been pushing and sparring with Mars. Now, Mars, if you're not aware, they're the makers of M&Ms and Skittles and Starburst and many other candies, okay? And so they've been going back and forth with CSPI, just constantly asking them, if you can use natural dyes in your products like they do in Europe, why don't you do it in the United States?
Mars distributes products all over the world, not just here in the United States.
Exactly, exactly.
And they make them different in Europe than they do here in the United States.
Absolutely.
I don't think people know that.
They don't. In Europe, they actually use natural dyes, okay?
Right.
They use natural dyes for their products. They have to.
Mm-hmm.
They have to. And so they've...
Or if they don't, they have to put on the package.
That's right. They have to put a warning on the package.
Right.
Now, CSPI has been going back and forth and saying, why don't you do that here in the United States? And the answer is simple. Because the FDA allows them to use the dangerous synthetic dyes. But in Europe, government action doesn't allow them, okay? Because either they have to use the natural dyes or they have to put a warning on the package.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's pretty sad.
Right. So the exciting thing...
Because it's probably cheaper to use the synthetic dyes, yes?
Probably,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be a financial reason behind that.
Yeah, and I'm sure it is.
Right.
I'm sure it is. And,
to not have to put a warning label on the product.
Yeah, and you know, dyes are used, I mean, they're widely used. I mean, it's not just in candy, they're in other foods, you know, you can find them in salad dressings, certain brands of, you know, pickles, chocolate cakes, I mean, hundreds of foods, okay? The dyes are used. Thousands of foods.
Even in products that we put on our skin.
That's right.
Dyes are used. I was just noticing one of our girls brought home a thing of bubble bath last week.
Yeah.
And it has all the dyes
in it. It's in everything. It's in everything. It's really scary. And, you know, the in the 90s, in the 1990s, FDA scientists discovered high levels of carcinogen benzidine. Okay. Now, if you know, if you don't know what a carcinogen is something that can cause cancer. Okay. So they found high levels of this carcinogen in two of the most widely used dyes, yellow 5 and yellow 6. All right. And the FDA itself, you know, admitted and declared that red 3, you know, they declared that to also be a carcinogen. All right. But did they take any action to ban them?
No.
And so the report, what this report was that I just got in the mail a couple weeks ago, what it was saying was that Mars Company has agreed to CSPI's request that it remove synthetic dyes from all of the products within the next 5 years.
Excellent.
Right. Well, yeah. So, you know, it's great that they've agreed to it. I think it's funny that...
I'm sure they'll come to some compromise in 5 years.
Yeah, I think it's funny that it's going to take five years
to figure it out. When they're already doing it for Europe.
Exactly.
You know, it'll take 5 years here.
Yeah. So, you know, this is a major thing. I mean, this is a major thing because, you know, even the FDA itself has acknowledged that some of the dyes can trigger certain behavior conditions in children, you know, attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder, but it refuses to ban these culprits, you know, continues to keep its head, you know, stuck in the mud and not making any changes. So I don't get it.
There's a lot of money involved there.
Yeah. And so anyways, this is exciting. This is definitely a move in the right direction.
Right.
And but I just thought it was interesting because you know, we eat these things. I mean, listen, I love M&Ms. I love peanut M&Ms and the chocolate M&Ms.
Our kids love Skittles.
Yeah, they love Skittles.
And they don't get them all the time, but, you know, they'll go to the theater and they'll buy them, you know, and it just breaks my heart. But they eat them, and it just is so sad that they're so bad for us. And I see parents giving their little two-year-olds M&Ms, and, you know, and they think it's okay and it's fine. And
well, listen, you know, we didn't know.
Right.
We didn't know, you know, and so that's why we're talking about this.
Right.
Okay. Listen, you've got to look at the ingredients. The ingredients. You know, another thing in regards to ingredients, let's talk about the Keurig.
The coffee machines. Yeah.
Because that seems to have taken the place of the traditional coffee pot.
Yeah. I was at Costco last week and I went up and down the coffee aisle, not because I had to get something else down that aisle, but the coffee is on one side.
Right.
And literally, like, there's not even any regular coffee anymore. It's all Keurig coffee.
Yeah.
Like, selections down the whole row of Costco for all these Keurig coffee machines. And it's crazy because we have a lot of friends who have these machines. A lot of our family members have these machines. You know, my parents are living with us now for the next few weeks. They brought their machine and it's in our kitchen now, you know.
They're everywhere. So, at the endoscopy centers. Right. I mean, we've got them, you know, at the surgical center. I mean, that's the machines are everywhere.
Right. So it's the new way of getting coffee.
Right.
Right. It's absolutely the new way of getting coffee.
Fast, convenient.
Right. Yes.
And, you know, just pop in that little plastic container, the pod.
Right.
And the pod, and, you know, it punches a hole in the top and the bottom. There's a little filter in there, and it just, you know, steam runs through the pod, and you get your coffee.
Right.
You get your instant coffee.
Right.
All right. Now, you know, I was reading, we were actually both doing some reading on Keurig, you know, I read a lot of reports of people claiming that it really is just instant coffee. You know, and I went on the Keurig website and I read on the Keurig, the extra bold one, which is like a more robust coffee. And it says, you know, if you want a more robust coffee, this one has up to 30% more coffee grounds. You know, of the grounds. So I don't know if that implies that the majority of it is instant coffee. But I think that the concerning thing is, what are the other ingredients in there?
Right.
And so,
yeah, no, so we know, we just did some research. I mean, again, we've got a lot of people that we know that are drinking these things in a lot of places. And we just want to make sure people, again, we don't think about reading the ingredients on the side of a coffee box. You know, you pick up a thing of Folgers and it says for ingredients, it says coffee. It's coffee beans in Folgers. But you pick up other things, even the Dunkin' Donuts brand mm-hmm. coffee is loaded with chemicals. But the Keurig, especially, so many chemicals. So just take a look at the side of your box of your Keurig coffees. And you'll notice, I just pulled up a couple here that I found the ingredients on. And it's pretty much the same kind of layout mm-hmm. for each of the coffees that I pulled, even though they're two totally different coffees. But the number one ingredient is sugar. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you've got creamer.
And is it real sugar or artificial
well,
sugar?
So it says sugar. Right. So that's real sugar.
Because I know what I was reading on the Keurig websites, there are some artificial sugars.
Well, there's sucralose as well, which is the last ingredient listed in every single Keurig ingredient I read.
Okay.
Sucralose was the very last ingredient, which is artificial sugar. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the first ingredient in every one is regular sugar. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not even coffee. In fact, the coffee is listed on the ingredient as instant coffee, and it's the seventh or eighth ingredient in the coffee. Hmm. Okay. So look, in case you're wondering how to read a food label, whatever is listed first is what is the most.
Right.
And then
the
it
highest
goes down
content.
The highest content, and then it goes down from there.
Right.
Okay. So in between sugar and instant coffee, you have things like creamer, hydrogenated coconut oil, glucose syrup, sodium caseinate, sodium polyphosphate, dipotassium phosphate, sodium sterile 2, lactate, silicon dioxide, non-fat milk, and then there it is, instant coffee, and then modified food starch, salt, caramel color, natural and artificial flavor, and sucralose,
mm-hmm.
all in one little plastic container.
Yeah.
Okay, and the problem is that these people are consuming these at alarming rates. Okay,
right.
and it's in people's homes, and their children are consuming the teas and the hot cocos,
mm-hmm.
and we're drinking them, and we're not thinking anything of it. We just continue to put these things into our body, and then you were reading about the plastic containers not being recyclable.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, they're trying. Yeah, Keurig was just, there was on the frequently asked questions, there was a question as to whether it was recyclable. And Keurig is trying to come up with a product, a pod that would be recyclable. But no, right now they're not recyclable.
So they were talking about how
a lot of landfills.
Filling the landfills with these Keurig pods. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, I tell you, I could totally see the attraction of these Keurigs. I mean, look, it's cute little pod, and mm-hmm. it's very convenient. It's easy to put in there,
They've made instant coffee sexy.
Yeah, it's
right?
very sexy.
It's sexy.
It's very sexy. You know, and but what happened to the traditional, good old fashioned coffee pot? You know, I mean, what happened to that?
It's too hard. You have to get out a filter, and you've got to scoop grounds in there.
I mean, I miss that. I mean, I miss coffee, but honestly, when I go back to drinking it now these days, it doesn't have the same taste that it had.
But you know, when people tell me that they drink coffee, right? So, because, you know, we're counseling them on nutrition, right? And so they'll tell me, you know, oh, I drink a cup of coffee every morning. Now I have to actually specify which kind of coffee are you drinking.
Right.
You know, are you drinking coffee from Starbucks? Are you drinking coffee in it from a Keurig?
Mm-hmm.
Are you making your own coffee? Because making your own coffee is bad enough as it is, right? And we tell people in moderation, and we try them to get them to the least amount of coffee as possible. But if they're drinking stuff like from Starbucks or, you know, out of the Keurig, then it's even more of an education process.
Right.
Right.
I mean, personally, I would like to challenge you to go back to the traditional coffee pot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because if you're going to be drinking coffee, stop drinking these coffees that are full of chemicals.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and make sure whatever coffee you're buying, you're reading the ingredients.
Yeah, read the
and
ingredients.
And that it's only
Know what you're putting in your body, you know,
mm-hmm.
and get back to the old-fashioned. Just get back to the old-fashioned coffee pot, because you're going to get less chemicals. Mm-hmm. You're going to get less chemicals with that. And, you know, so just be aware of what you're putting in your body. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. And just know that everything you put in directly affects the cells in your body.
That's right.
Which directs what happens with the tissue in your body, which then directs what happens to the organs in your body, which then directs what happens to the health of your body. So it's all related. And just know that every single thing you put in affects the body.
All right. All right. We're going to bring this podcast to a close. Thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you on the next podcast.
Thank you for joining Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato. To learn more about their revolutionary products and services, go online to www.drlizcruz.com.